And I think a key element that we want to underscore here is that in the first epistle, you had in a very wonderful, clear, pristine way, the house of God. Responsibility, the truth of God's word was upheld in a wonderful way, not that it was without some difficulties, but the house of God has grown up into this large structure now that is described here as the great house. And we are part of that, young people. The gathering that we associate with or we are in fellowship with, we are a part of this great house, this great structure. There are professors, this the real and the unreal. As Brother Chuck said, the vessels of gold and silver, wood and earth are individuals like you and I, all going along together. You and I are not able sometimes to distinguish the true from the false. But it is a call for us to be a vessel of honor. That is what Paul is pointing out to Timothy. That in this great structure where, and it's Christendom, young people, and I want to challenge us because this is where the Word of God is so important. I think we mentioned a little bit yesterday that today with the age in which we live, the electronic devices and internet access, that very often we go and we're looking for ministry from all sorts of churches and pastors and preachers every which way. We need to turn to the book so that we can be those who are vessels of honor. It has to do with conduct in the great house. We are the true are part of the house of God, but the house of God is in the great house. And we have to ask ourselves, are we vessels of honor, gold and silver? Are we shining? Are we standing upon what we know to be true in the Word of God? Or have, and I don't want to imply at all that if you're a true believer, that you're a vessel of dishonor. That is that which is false for sure. But by application, we can say that instead of being what we should in shining forth as a vessel of gold and silver, we may give the impression by our conduct that we are acting in a way that is dishonoring to the Lord.
So we have two dangers here. I want you to just, in summary, very quickly pay attention to that. The earlier verses were speaking about bad teaching. Teaching that is coming in, that is turning the faith of some. Bad teaching. How do we counterattack bad teaching? Study, verse 15. Get a systematic, I don't remember if you kind of catch what was said. Systematic way of teaching. To know what's what. To apply what's what. You hear people speaking about, the rapture? There's no such a thing. We're all going to stand before God one day and we'll be judged. Is the Word of God saying that? Some, they say, the church might go through the tribulation. And you might, be left behind. Is the Word of God saying that? They might come and say, you're losing your salvation. And listen, these people are clever and write very well. What is the defense that we have? Study. Study the Word of God. How many of you went to the bookshelf and got a book on 2 Timothy? I'm not going to ask to see a show of hands. I would love every one of you to go to the bookshelf because that's what we're talking about. Go and get some good books and study. That is how you counterattack the wrong teaching. Be careful of what we have heard about listening to preachers or people on radio or TV or on YouTube that is sounding very well. And yet they are not. Examine everything in the light of the Word of God. That's how you counterattack them. Then the second danger, as we have said, Christianity is a great house, a type of a great house. Every one of us is in there. Every one of us is there. As long as you call yourself Christian, you are there. If you are a Jew or a Buddhist or an atheist, you're not. But if you're saying you're a Christian, you are there. But the Lord knows who's true and who's not. What am I going to do? How am I going to counterattack that danger? And that is, let him depart. If you are calling upon the Lord, if you're calling, if the name of the Lord is called upon you, that is your responsibility. Don't associate yourself. Because I'm going to give you an expression that we appreciate how the older brethren have coined it. Association with evil defile. You want to write it down? Write it down. Association with evil defile. I don't smoke. I don't like smoking. I think it's a very stupid thing. But you know what? If I sit in a room with somebody who is smoking, when I walk out of that room, my clothes will smell like smoke. My hair will smell like smoke. My nose will be hurting. My eyes will be hurting. And I don't believe in it. But I am associating with somebody who does that. What is my responsibility? Don't sit in a room with somebody who's smoking. Depart. Depart. Get out. Go ahead, Chuck.
I need to look at the clock. I hate it. I think we need to start on these verses tomorrow. Sure. Yes.
Can you allow me to give a very practical example of a real life situation that takes this and applies it for all of us in a practical way? We've heard of it in the doctrinal way, but now in my practical life. And I heard this in a recent report from Africa. And here, I've shared this with some, but here's a young sister, and she is one who has been grounded and studied the word to rightly divide and see these truths in the scripture. She meets a Christian young man, and he proposes to her. She denies. This young man was not walking in a scriptural path. He approaches her again and again. Each time she denies him. And her response, I want you to listen to this response. This really had an impression on me. Her reply to this young man was, "I not only want to be married in the Savior." He professed to be a Christian. She was a Christian. There wasn't an unequal yoke. But he was walking in an unscriptural path. "I not only want to be married in the Savior, I want to be married in the Lord." That was her answer. What an answer. To understand that this separation and this, the uniting together with life's partner, that there was no way that she could enter into such a thing and not be on the same ground that the scripture lays out, but to be separated from it. A practical example, but every one of you will be faced with that question.
There is an example here at the conference. And the young lady was my oldest daughter. And she turned Chris down. She wouldn't mind me telling you. She came home from this conference and she met Chris. He came and played volleyball. And it's a good ending because he started coming to the meeting. And the Lord began challenging him. And he was studying to be a preacher at a local Baptist college. And Kim said no. She said no again. She said no again. And then he started coming to the Bible studies. And a couple of months later, he asked for his place. So be encouraged with that and hold firm. Yeah. And I think we should start on these verses tomorrow. I think if you all, we have more to see in them, I believe.